What's good, everyone? My name is Jacob Moses, community builder at Strongtowns, and welcome to It's the Little Things, a Strongtowns podcast where in each episode, we focus on a different action that you, the concerned citizen, the elected official, the city planner, can take to make your town stronger. This episode's action: fostering entrepreneurship in your community. At Strongtowns, we often discuss the downsides of city officials chasing big corporations to set up shop in their city. For example, the massive loss of potential tax revenue or the money leaving the local economy for a headquarters in another state. But what else can we do to create jobs or raise any sort of tax revenue, city leaders may ask themselves. As you learn in this episode, instead of chasing big corporations, city leaders can tap into the existing talent in their community and give them the skills and resources to act on their city-boosting ideas. To help us unpack this action, I've got Skylar Yost on the podcast, a founding member of Strongtowns and ecosystem builder for the city of York, Pennsylvania. A pretty cool job title, I know. In this episode, Skylar will share with you how you can foster entrepreneurship in your community, including how to assess the existing resources in your community, how to create an ecosystem in which entrepreneurs are supporting one another, and most important, how fostering entrepreneurship in your community makes our cities and towns stronger. Enjoy. Skylar, what's good, man? How are you today?
Hey, I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing good. Doing good. How's life in Alexandria, Virginia?
It's good. There was some excitement earlier when the bank two blocks away from me on my street got robbed and they couldn't catch people. Yeah.
Goodness.
Very
that
strange.
That is quite the excitement for a Monday.
Yeah.
Well, Skylar, man, so happy to chat with you today. We got a great action to cover together, and that is fostering entrepreneurship in your community. This is a wonderful action, an action that we talk a lot about Strongtowns as well. You know, how can cities give the residents the tools and the encouragement to use their own skills and expertise to contribute to where they live? And man, an action that you're totally making happen through your work in York, Pennsylvania. And you get this really dope title as ecosystem builder. So Skylar, to start this conversation off, could you tell us more about what this title entails of what this work actually looks like in York?
Yeah, sure. So I guess the first thing to point out is that ecosystem builder refers to the economic ecosystem or the entrepreneurial ecosystem.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's kind of a field that exists in the high priced parts of the country where there are thriving startup scenes. It's, you know, Silicon Valley and the like. And the whole idea of it as an ecosystem is that successful startups don't happen in a vacuum. There are a whole lot of things in the surrounding environment that make it possible for entrepreneurship to work. And the way I view what I'm doing for the city of York, which is my hometown, is there are kind of three main elements. One is building entrepreneurial skills. The other is building institutions that support startup ecosystems in the long term. And then finally, and this is kind of all-encompassing and the most important part of it, is building community across siloed social networks and really getting those dense social networks in place.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I find really funny about the fact that I have this title of just straight up ecosystem builder is that there's a community of people doing ecosystem building through the Kauffman Foundation. And I can't remember exactly where it was that I read it, but like 2 years ago, right before I took this role, I was told, or I read that if there was ever a position with the formal title ecosystem builder, then the field was dead. So I guess I'm here to say that I have officially killed the field, and I am the first, as far as we know, municipal ecosystem builder in the country.
That's awesome, man. So Scott, why entrepreneurship? You know, York could have chosen to pursue several different new efforts and new crazy titles. Mm-hmm. Why do they choose to mess with entrepreneurship? Why was that important to them?
Yeah, so I think it's particularly interesting in York. We have a long history. You know, we're pre-Revolutionary War town, and York is known for having a few big industrial exports. So it's not a huge place by any means. We have like 500,000 people in the county overall. The city environs is like maybe 200,000. But you know, York Peppermint Patties, York Barbell, York International, which is a cooling system that I've seen on the tops of buildings in Greece, you know, randomly. Those are all companies that started locally and became internationally dominant in some way, shape, or form. And since World War II, we've had a lack of new companies that go global. And York had this kind of decaying industrial base for a long time. And a lot of people in central PA have sort of seen it as one of the towns that is losing jobs more often than gaining them. And that's not exactly accurate. I mean, it's actually growing pretty robustly, but it's not growing new companies in any way, shape, or form like the rates that have been seen elsewhere. So Lancaster, right next door, our sister city, is the startup per capita champion of Pennsylvania, and we're languishing near the bottom, even though our manufacturers have come roaring back, and we have really advanced manufacturing in town. So when our mayor got elected, our current mayor got elected in 2017, at the end of it, he went out and said, you know, I'd been talking to him about economic development for a while, just through becoming an activist, through, you know, getting involved in Strong Towns really early on in 2011. And we've been chatting about economic development long enough that when he got elected, he gave me a call and was like, I want you to do this thing. And, you know, start with entrepreneurship. We want to create more industrialists that actually keep wealth in York and not just have outside companies come in and mine our wealth out.
Yes, that's wonderful, Skylar. So flashback a couple of years, you get hired by the city of York to be their ecosystem builder. I imagine at first you have to, you know, roll up back to your hometown and see the existing resources and the existing companies that already participate in York. What was that process like for city leaders who are listening to this podcast and also want to start to tap in and foster this entrepreneurial spirit happening in their town? How do you recommend folk get started just assessing what already exists, what's already happening where they live?
Yeah, this is a process. It's a really long process. I mean, I'm still deep in the process right now. I'd say the first, I came into it with a lot of thoughts and opinions, being that it is my hometown and I've stayed relatively connected. I'm more or less aware of what's going on. But even the first 6 months, it took a lot of work meeting new people and going to all the events where the powers that be exist and poking around where you would think there should be more entrepreneur support programs, whether it's through a university or through, you know, the Economic Development Corporation, or just there are tons of different places that normally would provide some level of entrepreneurial support. And talking to entrepreneurs and going door to door and just asking people questions about how they felt about if they experienced any real hurdles or if anyone particularly helped them, and followed those veins to really find the champions in a community that know how to get things done. working with them. So I'd say the best way to do it is really speaking to entrepreneurs that are currently in the throes of getting their business off the ground and asking them who's been helpful and who's hindered, because it's enlightening, I think, when you find out that they went somewhere for help and didn't find that much help.
Yeah, totally, Skylar. And you have this component, I was reading your job description, and you're hoping to connect some of these entrepreneurs together, perhaps share resources. You know, a lot of cities might hear that and think, you know what, all I have to do is just, you know, build a co-working space, and then that's where everyone will gather and all will be well. I imagine that's not the case, and that's not what you've noticed from the work you're doing as the ecosystem builder. So someone goes out, they're talking to these entrepreneurs, they hear about, you know, their hopes and dreams for the work that they're doing, they share their struggles. How do you go about actually connecting these folk with one another to create this ecosystem that you're envisioning for York?
Yeah, well, you know, it's hard because you can't just assume that by introducing someone to someone else that they will actually continue interacting with each other regularly. Yeah. And everybody has their own lives. And in York, they're, you know, just not an abnormal place by any way, shape, or form. A lot of people come in, maybe the startups exist in the downtown-ish. I mean, that's not really true as much in York, but a lot of people live in their suburban sphere and they drive places and stop off at the stores, and they don't have a lot of casual acquaintances. They have people that they know from work. They have people that they know from church. They have people that they know from, you know, when they went to high school. And they purposefully see people, or they run into the people that they already know randomly at a few spaces that are the only community places in the suburbs often. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that I've been trying to do more and more is make use of the few good third spaces that we have.
Yeah.
So I take a lot of meetings at, you know, our coffee shops. And one of them in particular was already well on the way to being a really vibrant community space. And I just decided that I was going to plop down there as often as possible and take meetings with people who would normally meet in an office or where have you, and bring them into the space. And especially if we have a meeting of a lot of community leaders, get them all in that coffee shop. So that has been really helpful. And another thing that I've been doing is this meetup group. I created a meetup group that is all about learning together the process of creating minimum viable products, which is super jargony, and I don't like to get jargony because people tend to shut off. But minimum viable products are essentially the quick and dirty way of finding out if your business idea or if one aspect of your business idea has any legs. It's kind of like a pilot test. And the real goal is to facilitate what's called the build, measure, learn feedback loop. So, you know, you build something really quick and easy, you measure the results from, you know, testing that thing, and you learn from it and you adapt as quickly as possible. That meetup group that's teaching these principles is really all about getting people who are in the process of trying to launch a business or already have a business up but are interested in finding new sources of revenue in the room together and sort of walking each other through the process of thinking of underlying assumptions that might need tested or different ways of testing new products and models, and getting them to be really familiar with each other through that process and to start relying on each other. So the initial round of this is really fresh that we're doing it, and there aren't that many people involved right now, but the initial round got this diehard core of probably five or six people that come regularly and that now work with each other on a lot of things and ask each other how, hey, how'd that one test go that we were talking about this last time? And and they've started doing projects together. In fact, one of them is actually setting up a co-working space, cool. which is great because we've had a couple co-working spaces and they haven't lasted very long because there's a lot that goes into that business model and that people don't really pay much attention to. And that's the world that I come from. I was just, I had worked for WeWork for 2 years right before this. And so that's been really fun to help them think about the underlying assumptions that they had there and really push the limits of what they were planning on doing. But they are now hosting sort of pop-up co-working groups at that coffee shop. Cool. And now at another community activist group location that just opened up that has a kind of co-working space of its own that is run by a guy who is a strong townie, I'll call him, a strong citizen. And we're partnering with them to reach their audience as well, to get more people into this meetup group. The whole idea is to create this sort of self-replicating community of people with a skill set for learning in conditions of complete uncertainty.
Yes. And Scott, it reminds me of something that's going down here in Denton. We have a nonprofit technology startup group called TechMill Denton, and they've had a similar series of meetups that you're describing. And I imagine a lot of listeners, as you're describing these types of meetups that are happening at this coffee shop, are probably nodding along with their heads, thinking about similar things going down wherever they're at. But maybe they don't have this kind of relationship with city leaders. There's not someone like the homie Skylar rolling up and helping foster these relationships. For some of the city leaders who are listening to this podcast, how can they get involved with perhaps an existing ecosystem of entrepreneurship happening? How can they come in and be an ally throughout this process? Any tips for them?
Yeah. So it's an interesting question because everybody in every city everywhere is constantly strapped with what they can take on. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of challenges on that front. And especially in older towns like York, there are extreme budget difficulties. So my position, for example, we ended up getting a foundation to fund it, or getting three foundations to fund it, just to have a role that was not encumbered by the duties that need to get done in the city structure. And I'm technically an employee of I'm technically a contractor with the Economic Development Corporation locally. So I think one of the biggest ways is if you do have anybody, or cities should focus on interacting with entrepreneurs as much as possible to learn from them. If you have an EDC or some other organization that works in this world that you can build a relationship with, that is one of the first ways to start this process. Because not saying that every EDC does everything really well, but the fact that the city's going out of its way to foster a relationship with an organization that's dedicated to working with businesses is kind of a first step in it's a gateway drug to really engaging with entrepreneurs. And really, if you want to do it, have your staff that works in the permitting offices or whatever occasionally take one afternoon and go knock on the doors of businesses, go stop and say hi. I've spoken to so many who are like, you know, one of the reasons why I voted for the mayor is because he came into my business, whereas the prior mayor didn't for an entire 8 years. So, you know, that it really makes a big difference and you learn so much more.
Scott, have you noticed city leaders ever being hesitant to get involved with any existing entrepreneurial groups? Again, I think about stuff that's going down in Denton. We recently had our Open Data Day. And for listeners, if you're unfamiliar with this event, this is one time a year, a bunch of folk are interested in open data, which is whenever cities open up all their data, let you use it and modify as you wish, get together and create different kinds of, you know, hyper-local products. And at times, cities can be, you know, a bit resistant. They don't want to open up that data. And if they do give it to you, it's really hard to access.
Mm-hmm.
Skylar, to ease the minds of any city leaders who think they might be found out or if they get involved in this kind of process, anything you say to them to help ease their minds?
Yeah. I mean, the discussion with open data is a slightly different one in that cities often get really worried that they're going to be liable for exposing personal data of residents. Whereas city leaders getting involved with small businesses and entrepreneurship, generally speaking, that's seen as a good thing. But at the same time, if city leaders are wary of being labeled, I don't know, as be too pro-business because they're talking about entrepreneurship all the time, they should really look at the principles that come in with the lean startup world. There's some really interesting stuff there that can be applied to civic innovation. And what part of what my role has become is just slow dripping to the mayor some very, you know, entrepreneur process readings and podcasts and some Strong Towns ones, and just encouraging this process of civic innovation where you do a small step, you test, you find the positive things that work, and you stop doing the things that aren't working, and you just iterate over and over again, and hopefully create some momentum and some bigger change from all the small change.
Yeah, little pilot projects.
Mm-hmm.
That's wonderful, Skylar. So, Skylar, if folk listen to this podcast, they're inspired to tap into their existing entrepreneurial communities, maybe start a new one by hiring their own ecosystem builder. Skylar, do you have any tips on just some small things that these folk can do tomorrow to start to foster this entrepreneurial spirit in their communities?
Yeah. So I think one of the things is actually getting out there, and it depends on if we're talking about, you know, a municipal leader or just a community leader. Mm-hmm. With a community leader, it's getting out there and actually speaking to your electeds, the powers that be. You know, just ask to sit down for coffee with them somewhere. Mm-hmm. Just half an hour, not making a big commitment. Ask to sit down with them and talk to them about the importance of taking this entrepreneurial mindset and taking small actions and fostering community, specifically focusing on the social networks that can support entrepreneurs and that can support communities. And this is not communities of, you know, entrepreneurship often ends up being seen as the realm of the upper middle class, which statistically it does end up being. But I think that's actually a symptom of a problem that we have. And it's the fact that we've created all these processes where you go and you write a business plan first before you do anything else. And that business plan is so important because you need that to go to the bank to get a loan to start your business that you have not tested any aspect of yet. That creates a very high barrier to entry. And the only people who can overcome more often than not or are willing to risk that initial amount of money are people who already have money. So working on the steps of building a low risk entrepreneurship scenario in your community is all about creating avenues to wealth creation. Yes. At all levels of society.
Interesting, Skylar.
Talking about that with them is usually does hit a little bit of a nerve. So.
Yeah. So what does that look like actually on the ground? So, you know, my first thought, a past winner of our Strongest Town contest was Muskegon, Michigan. You know, they put up these little pop-up shops and let anyone who wanted to, you mm-hmm. know, test out their product or service, you know, kick it, share their work on a Saturday morning, similar to a farmer's market. You know, you come out for a day or two, then put your product away, come out the week after. What else does mm-hmm. that look like mm-hmm. on the ground of actually letting people test out these small ideas?
Well, getting on the ground and to test out small ideas is, it always feels a lot bigger when you don't have an example right in front of you. Mm-hmm. So I guess one of the ways to really get going is to start by reading, or just reading into it. You don't have to read the whole book necessarily, though I would suggest it, but Lean Startup. It's kind of foundational in how a lot of this stuff happens. And, or even there's a book that was featured on one of the podcasts, one of the Strong Towns podcasts in this past year, which is Sustainovation. They're all about learning how to apply a process to problems, to local problems. And you can apply that process to problems, however small. So one of the things that I am really excited to try to do, and working with that community leader who is a strong townie, we're trying to do a process of establishing a competition for essentially, well, it's a platform where we can do competitions that focus on a bunch of different topics. But what I'm really excited for is honing in on individual neighborhoods and saying, you know, only kids between 12 and 15 are allowed to submit entries to this, and they have to be estimated to come in at under $75. And we want the goal is to solve the most pressing or make a step towards solving the most pressing physical need in your neighborhood. Huh. And, you know, from that, getting some responses, seeing which one wins, we can fund them all because they're all $75 yeah. bucks at that point, or, you know, pick a winner and throw a little bit more so that we could replicate it at multiple places. But the idea there is just showing people how small of an action can be taken.
Yeah. I love that. And thank you for mentioning Sustainovation. Listeners, that was Nick Kittle wrote that book. I think he was on the podcast, maybe episode 6, but I'll make sure to the link in the show notes, but it exactly speaks to what Skylar's talking about there. It's not, okay, we're going to put several million dollars into this one economic development project. Golly, we sure hope it works out. Instead, it's, you know, let's take a half dozen. Let's take a dozen ideas and let's try them all out, give them a little bit of funding. If two work out, wonderful. If no work out, it's all good. If all dozen work out, beautiful. But it's not putting all of your eggs in one basket. I appreciate you speaking of that, Skylar. That's wonderful.
Yeah, no problem.
Beautiful. Well, Skylar, man, I appreciate you so much for being on the podcast and sharing your wisdom and expertise with us. To wrap up the podcast, this is the question that we end every episode with. How does this particular action, fostering entrepreneurship, make our cities and towns stronger?
It makes our cities and towns stronger, one, because you circulate money locally more. Mm-hmm. So you're not having all of the wealth mined out of your community. Two, because the process of becoming an entrepreneur and being an entrepreneur really does rely heavily on other people. And you meet people, you create new social connections and networks, and it's very impactful in just how many people around town you know. And that's one of the learnings from the death and life of great American cities is the intensity of mixed use activities in a single block increases the possibilities that are within a short walk. And that factor multiplies the social connections dramatically. So having businesses present really does impact the depth and scope of social networks.
Yep.
And that is really the underlying cause of strong entrepreneurship communities, but it's also one of the great results of strong entrepreneurship communities.
It's
powerful.
It is. Well, Skylar, man, I appreciate you so much. If any listeners want to connect with you, learn more about the work you're doing, where can people find you online?
You know, the easiest way would probably be on the Slack, the Strongtown Slack. I am Skyler, S-K-Y-L-E-R, nothing more. Otherwise, you can go to my yet-to-be-fully-created website and click the Contact Us button, and it's ecosystem-builders.com.
Beautiful. Well, Skyler, man, thank you so much. We'll chat very soon.
Thank you very much, Jacob. Have a good one.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks so much for listening, everyone. If you're enjoying the content, please subscribe to It's the Little Things on iTunes, and we will chat next week. See ya.